I speak to you in God's holy name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. We've been following this summer, re-looking at what it means to be a progressive church, what it means to be a part of a family with an optic of progressive Christianity. And there are some major points of progressive Christianity, and today we're talking about the nature of God, which fits in well with today's gospel. The third bullet point, if you'd like, the third tenet of progressive Christianity is seek community that is inclusive of all people, including but not limited to conventional Christians and questioning skeptics, believers and agnostics, women and men, those of all sexual orientations and gender identities, those of all classes and abilities. Today is Pride Sunday across the Lower Mainland, and it's a good Sunday for us to visualize ourselves as being a church which includes all people. And I'd like to spend some time looking at that. Who is God? What is church? When we think of the word God, we have to think about the fact that the word God is a container. It doesn't stand with one only definition, but it's a container of many definitions in one word that has occurred over time. In the first lesson today, we had Hosea criticizing the northern kingdom and its reliance on its understanding of God. For its understanding of God is what we call Elohim. And the understanding of God in Elohim is the sense of a natural God, God of the fields, God of the land, God of the sea, the fishes, God of all people who dwell in the land. And that was the type of understanding that the early people in the northern kingdom who followed the tradition where they called God Elohim. The southern kingdom was much more urban and much more and a different understanding of God. And they used the word Yahweh. You've heard that term for God over the years, Yahweh. Well, Yahweh and Elohim were two words of God, but they had slightly different meanings. The word God, as I said, is a container. So the Elohim idea is one vision. Another vision was that known as Yahweh, which is a much more powerful, dominant God that has the big temple, that crushes the enemy, and is more powerful. Whereas Elohim is the understanding of God, which we would call weak theology. But as time went along, and after the people of Israel were deported into Babylon, they lost their Hebraic language and culture. And but the Greeks came along, because the Greeks defeated the Babylonians, and the Greek culture came into force, and the people who were Jews lost their Jewishness and became more and more Greek. And as they became more Greek, they absorbed into themselves an understanding of God that was based on the Hellenistic understanding of God, the Greek understanding of God, which we would see as, you know, Thor and Zeus and all those images of God throwing thunderbolts around. And that became an image of God. So you move from this quiet God, this natural God, a small voice God in Elohim through Yahweh and now to the Greek understanding of God, which they still called Yahweh, but it was really with a Hellenistic tinge to it, a Greek tinge. And then the Greeks got defeated by the Romans, and they brought in their Roman understanding of God, which was similar to the Greek, but even more so blood and thunder, because they thought you destroy all your enemies, and that's how you bring peace. And that idea of God destroying all your enemies became an understanding of God in the Jewish tradition, and to a point in part of the Christian tradition, which sprung out of the Jewishness. But Jesus was different. Jesus' understanding of God was a still small voice. And Jesus, being rural, was more following the tradition of Elohim, which we would call weak theology. Last week I mentioned weak theology and strong theology. So the idea of the Romanist type of God is strong theology, and the weak theology is the Jesus theology of the Elohims. It's all still in one container of the word God. We keep going forward into the New Testament time, where the evolution of moving away from Jesus and became Christ. As the Roman government gave way to Constantine becoming a Christian, by the time of the Council of Nicaea, there had been a great transition in the understanding of God, and it was more and more like the Romans. Again, vanquishing your enemies. A very strong sense of theology. So what has all that got to do with what we're about today? Well, we need to understand that the Jesus way of approaching God is very different than the way we've often inherited through the church. Because through the church, we have inherited a Roman type of understanding of God. I don't mean Roman in the sense of Roman Catholic, but Roman in the sense of the Roman Empire, which they easily moved. They just thought of God being like the Roman gods, only without idols. It was just became a powerful God. But that's not the God of Jesus. And Jesus' return, Jesus wouldn't recognize how people portray Jesus, and they also wouldn't recognize how people portrayed God as Jesus understood God. But we live in a new age. We live in a time where scientific understanding has really brought us to understand that we are part of an ever-expanding universe, that we are part of a integrated planet Earth, which is a ball, not a flat surface. And I've gone through this a lot of times. But a lot of people look at what the church has traditionally proclaimed and they say, it doesn't compute for me. I want spirituality, but where do I go? I'm now spiritual but not religious. And I'm calling us all to come back to a sense of inclusion. That the still small voice is the idea of God is residing in each and every one of us. That God resides in all things on the planet. In all of God's creation, God is a part of everything God has created. And that the voice of God is for everybody and resides in everybody on the planet. All those who acknowledge God and those who don't acknowledge God are still a part of the family of God. That we have to see things in a new way. And that's this part of including conventional Christians and questioning skeptics, believers and agnostics, men and women, those of all sexual orientations and gender identities, those of all classes and abilities. We are all part of the family of God. But what we are attempting to do as progressive Christians is to come back to the understanding of God that Jesus held, that Jesus lived. This humble, caring, healing, restorative understanding of God, not this vanquishing blood and guts God that have been proclaimed oftentimes in the name of Jesus Christ, is not the God that Jesus understood. And so today, as we think about being progressive Christians, We often think we're just leaving the past behind, but actually what progressive Christians are doing is reconnecting to the original vision of Jesus and living that out and trying to put aside some of the contamination that we have culturally received. Remembering again that, well, the word God is a container. What we're trying to do is focus in the midst of that container, on what was the original understanding that Jesus followed and lived. And that understanding is very simply put, as you'll find in the Gospel of John, God is love. God is love for all of God's creation. And I pray today as we receive the sacrament, the love of God shared with us, poured out for us, that we take that in ourselves and we live that love in our relationships with ourselves, those we know and those we don't know. If that was the predominant thread of our life, we wouldn't have had the horror of what we heard about happening in the United States in the last 24 hours with the two mass murders. We wouldn't have heard about the prejudice and conflicts that are going on where children are being abused and abandoned. We are called to love. And I pray that as missionaries of progressive Christianity, we live that love in the world around us. May we be inspired and energized by the sacrament and the presence of Jesus in our lives. May God bless us all. Amen.